the deer and the antelope play. Hello, dear friends. This is John Charles Thomas. Well, here we are again with another half hour of song, story, and music for you men and women in the armed forces of the United Nations. For story, we have John Nesbitt, one of America's best. For music, there's Victor Young in the orchestra. And for song, the Ken Darby Chorus and myself. And now, Vic, with the preliminaries over, let's get started.
My first song today prompts a question. What would the baritones do were it not for the grand old song, On the Road to Mandalay? We all receive more requests for it, perhaps, than any other song. So, on behalf of my baritone colleagues, thanks to Ole Speaks and Rudyard Kipling.
The old mule mine pagoda, looking eastward to the sea, there's a Burma girl a-settin', and I know she thinks of me. For the wind is in the palm trees, and the temple bells, they say, on your back, you British soldier, come you back to Mandalay, come you back to Mandalay, come you back to Mandalay, where the old flotilla lay. Can't you hear the paddles chunking from Rangoon to Mandalay? On the road to Mandalay, where the flying fishes play, and the dawn comes up like thunder out of China. Somewheres east of Suez, where the best is like the worst, where there aren't no Ten Commandments, and a man can raise a thirst. For the temple bells are calling, and it's there that I would be, by the old mule mine pagoda, looking lazy at the sea, looking lazy at the sea. Come you back to Mandalay, where the old flotilla lay. Can't you hear their paddles chunking from Rangoon to Mandalay? On the road to Mandalay, where the flying fishes play, and the dawn comes up like thunder out of China.
If you saw the picture, The Uninvited, you were probably struck with the beauty and the beauty of the music in it. Grand job of underscoring by our own Victor Young. There was one theme in particular I'm sure you'd like to hear again. Vic calls it Stella by Starlight. And here it is. ¶¶ Because of his hyphenated name, many people think that Campbell Tipton was an English composer. He was an American, however, born in Chicago. I'm going to sing a very descriptive song of his today called The Crying of Water. Song of that mythical college Winsocke from the show Best Foot Forward. With it, the Columbia University song Sans Souci. Here they are with Ken Darby doing the cheerleading.
What if tomorrow? If you fight, you'll chuckle at defeat. If you fight, you'll never know retreat. Give him the axe, the axe, the axe. Give him the axe, the axe. Up, go down, win, Tossie. Up, go down. You can win, win, Tossie. If you buckle down. If you mow him down. If you go to town. You can win. Buckle down and win.
And now, as another gesture of goodwill to our neighboring republic, Victor Young plays the brilliant El Relicario. John Nesbitt.
Early in the winter of 1906, on a bitterly cold day, a 2-foot square hole was cut through the ice that covered the Detroit River. All along the shore, for several hundred feet, there stood a line of uniformed policemen, their hands locked to form a human chain. Back of this line pressed an enormous crowd of people, their overcoats pulled up tightly around their throats and their breath making white clouds of steam in the cold air. At 2 o'clock, a car drove up and stopped on Belle Isle Bridge. A man in swimming trunks with a boxer's robe thrown over his shoulders climbed out. He had black curly hair and a strong square face. He wasn't a large man, but he seemed to be built like an athlete. The crowd did not applaud him, but merely watched him curiously, hushed and a little frightened. A policeman then stepped up and pulled a straitjacket over the athlete's head, buckled the arms around the back with heavy leather straps. Then they wrapped iron chains around his arms, padlocked the ends in back. More chains were wrapped around the feet and ankles, and these too were strongly padlocked. Finally, 10-pound lead weights were buckled onto his feet. He could not move now. He could not even take a step, but was dragged up to the edge of the hole in the ice by the two policemen. The mayor and two city officials took out stopwatches. Are you ready? I am ready. The athlete's lips were blue with cold. The two policemen lifted him off his feet and suddenly dropped him from the edge of the bridge straight through the hole in the ice. Already a new film of ice had formed over the water. The officials started their watches going and gazed down at the dials. Inhaling deeply just before he went under, the athlete sank instantly into the frozen bottom of the river and began squirming expertly out of the chains and straitjacket. He knew precisely how long it would take him to get out of these chains and how long he could hold his breath underwater, which was 2 minutes, 45 seconds with comfort and 4 minutes in an emergency. In 2 minutes, 30 seconds, he was entirely free. He shot toward the surface. An instant later, something crashed against his head in a stunning blow that almost knocked him unconscious. He had struck the ice with his head. The current of the river had carried his body downstream an unknown distance away from the hole. He had no idea where the opening was. The wonderful trick had failed, and with it had failed most of his chances to live. On the riverbank, the mayor and the officials looked up from their watches. 2 minutes, 45 seconds. They looked toward the hole in the ice and then into each other's eyes. 3 minutes, 3:15, 3:30. In the crowd, a fourth man held a stopwatch. Now rapidly, he threw off his coat, stepped from his trousers, kicked off his shoes, and attired in a swimming suit, he seized a coil of rope and ran toward the ice. He was an assistant hidden in the crowd in case of an emergency. But as he started to run, the crowd, horrified, had surged forward in a compact wall against the line of policemen, and the lifeguard was jammed in the mob, unable to move. 4 minutes passed. Four and a half. Five. This is the absolute limit of endurance for even a South Sea Island pearl diver. The lifeguard screamed now and beat at the backs of the crowd. 6 minutes passed. Newspaper men ran to a telephone, called their papers. Typesetters set up headlines for an extra. Harry Houdini, the greatest escape artist of all time, drowns in Detroit River. Someone called a hotel where his wife was waiting. Hearing what was happening, she collapsed and was rushed to a hospital. At the river, the lifeguard at last broke through the crowd, ran to the ice, made one end of the rope fast, and flung it down the hole. And just as he was about to climb down into the water to recover the body, Harry Houdini, smiling and laughing, bobbed to the surface and climbed out. The officials looked at their watches dumbfounded. This human being had been underwater at freezing temperature for 8 minutes, 3 2/5 seconds. It was impossible. Great physicians studied this case and reported that no human body could possibly go without air for 8 minutes. In London, a special meeting of the Society for Psychical Research was called to study the facts. The great writer of Sherlock Holmes, Conan Doyle, said in print that the feat could not have been performed without supernatural means. Harry Houdini smiled and said, "There is nothing magical about it. It is merely science." Years later, he gave the explanation that under the water, knowing that he could hold his breath for just 15 seconds longer, he had been able to think clearly and decide exactly what was best to do. He had then remembered a scientific fact that at that time of the year, due to a shortage of water, the level of the Detroit River would probably lower a fraction of an inch. He knew then that there might be a space of about half an inch between the water and the heavy sheet of solid ice above it. He had pressed his lips against the ice, tried to take a breath, and there was an airspace. And that was the real magic of Houdini, the ability to conquer fear. And it made him the greatest magician who has ever lived.
Thank you, John Nesbitt. There are certain pieces that become symbols of events, like Happy Birthday and the Wedding March. The song Victor Young has arranged for today has been, perhaps, 100 years the accepted thing for the band to play when soldiers and sailors leave one place for another. Actually, it's an old Irish air that dates back to at least 1770. The Girl I Left Behind Me. Thank you. two swell tunes, Louisiana Hayride and Moonlight Bay. Ken, let's hear them.
Get going, Louisiana Hayride. Get going, we all is ready. Get going, Louisiana Hayride. You have to start to roll. Oh, I like that sport, riding in the hay. I love it in the way, oh, oh. Oh, the time is short. Crack your little whip. Get your little ship to roll. Get on the moon, take a little ride. Moon is shining bright. While in the hay, sing and play. We'll take a ride tonight.
Familiar Bless Us, O Lord, by Bernard Hamlin.
Bless us, O Lord, we humbly pray, all through this day and every day. Be thou
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.